one is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, we like to empower you, so that's what we're going to do. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. We're going to be talking about childhood cancer for a little bit, and then we're going to talk about maybe cancer for your pets, what you can do about that. And we got a lot to talk about in a quack report. The whole hour is just packed. And thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. But before we jump into all this empowering health news, we want to say a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer and hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face. And you never, ever regret spending time in prayer with the Lord. That's your relationship, see. And today's devotional, we're in Proverbs 3, and we're starting in verse 11. We get this instruction. It says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than fine gold. Amen to that. Seek Laura's face by the time, because that is the way. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. Awesome. All right. First up in the quacker, guess what New Jersey's doing? New Jersey's getting to be known as the tax state. And how do I know this? Because people are flooding the state of North Carolina where I'm at because they're leaving in droves. So New Jersey lawmakers are now considering, get this, another tax on water. So they want to call it a fee-based volume tax. It's proposed by, of course, the Democrat Senator Bob Smith of Middlesex, New Jersey. He said 10 cents for every 1,000 gallons of water is what they proposed for each home, and so it would add about $32 a year to the average water bill. They claim the money is going to be needed to fix crumbling water delivery infrastructure in their state, but the state already charges a public utility franchise tax on water, about a penny per 1,000 gallons to each consumer. They said that tax went into effect in 1984, and it was supposed to ensure clean drinking water in the whole state. So one columnist in New Jersey was a little vexed by the whole thing, says, what's next? They're going to tax us for breathing? Yeah, as for New York, tap water is not taxed, but bottled water is. So one of those things that preserves. We're going to have a water cartel. We don't watch it, you know. All right, moving along on the quack report. Doctors and hospitals kind of fed up with your personal opinions of their services and treatments on social media, so they're suing their patients. That's right. The First Amendment protects patients' rights to post their opinions, but attorneys take the position that if the position of their opinion of their post goes beyond personal opinion and deliberately makes false accusations or claims rather than factual statements, that's where the rub comes in. So you get a little creative with your description, you may get in trouble. Last but not least in the quack report, everybody's got air filters, you know, AC air filters in your home. You have to clean them or you have to change them out. Well, new data that was released from Hong Kong Baptist University, they said that your air conditioning units collect a lot of dead skin cells. And over time, they break down into ammonium, and it releases this acidic sweet smell. Almost associated with the smell of urine, they said. So while it's immediately not dangerous, if it continues to release the ammonium into your air, it could make you more susceptible to diseases like upper respiratory infection. So if you're prone to those things, you want to make sure you clean those air filters out. I know they tell you clean them once a month or minimum once every 3 months. Start to look dirty, time to swap them out. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thank you, Frank. All right. We're going to be talking about childhood cancer. And modern medicine offers a lot of explanations why people get cancer. And they often say it's maybe lifestyle that includes the abuse of tobacco and alcohol, and maybe some environmental toxins that they get exposed to, like chemicals. Now, these, for sure, can put you at risk of cancer, but are really not normally the reasons associated with childhood cancer. So what is promoting cancer among children, and what are now recorded in high numbers? So let's take a look and find out. I want to read you this quote by cancer.gov website. They say, although cancer in children is rare, it is the leading cause of death by disease past infancy among children in the United States. Is it rare? Let's go see. We're going to look at the top five. According to the Roswell Park Cancer Institute, it's a research facility on cancer, they list five of the most common cancers that children develop. One is acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or ALL, is what they refer to it. Now, this is the most common cancer that children get by 34%, usually between the ages of 2 to 4. And more male children than the female contract this disease, and it starts in the bone marrow, but then it spreads to the blood. Now, symptoms are bone and joint pain, fatigue, weakness, bleeding, weight loss, and fever. The other cancer that kids usually get are brain tumors, and often they cause a lot of nervous system tumors. This offers a 27% risk rate among children. And there are several types of brain tumors that usually start. They usually start in the lower part of the brain near the brainstem or the cerebellum. And symptoms tend to be headaches, dizziness, loss of balance, impairment in vision and speech, and frequent vomiting. Now, there's also neuroblastomas, and this is a cancer that begins in your adrenal glands and offers a 7% risk to the children. It affects their nerve cells, and more males than females develop this type of cancer, and symptoms are inability to walk, vision changes like bulging eyes, dark circles under the eyes, or droopy eyelids, also body pain, diarrhea, and high blood pressure. Now, the fourth most common cancer for kids is the Wilms tumor. Now, this begins in your kidneys. It offers a 5% risk to the children ages between 3 to 4. Statistics show it is fatal in 1% of the cases. Symptoms are swollen belly or a lump in the belly, pain, nausea, poor appetite, and fever. And the fifth one is lymphoma. So cancer of the lymph nodes and the tissue involving the immune system, that's what this is. So this cancer often attacks your tonsils, your thymus, that are all made of lymph tissue. Bone marrow can also be affected, as well as other organs. So the types of lymphoma are Hodgkin's and non-Hodgkin's. Now, children and adults can develop this type of cancer, and symptoms are swollen lymph nodes in the neck, armpit, and groin, weight loss, sweating, weakness, and fever. It often develops in children under the age of 5. All right, so what could be the potential causes? My goodness. Well, what could be causing such disease in infants and children? So is there a link between the use of vaccines and the rise in the cancer cases? So when we consider the level of toxicity that's included in the vaccines, it becomes very clear that the human body is reacting to serums, including human and animal DNA, as well as other unhealthy vaccine chemicals. Now, here is an incomplete list. It's not totally complete of what your childhood vaccines could include. Monkey kidney tissue, mouse brains and mouse viruses, cow tissue, as well as goat tissue, pig tissue, human fetus tissue, mercury known as thimerosal, aluminum, formaldehyde, which is a carcinogenic embalming fluid, phenylethylene glycol, your antifreeze, your acetone, usually known as nail polish remover, and viruses and bacteria. So no good parent or health professional, for that matter, would put these ingredients on a plate and feed that to people they care about. And it makes you wonder how modern medicine can really proclaim that these toxic ingredients will promote health and offer protection from disease. The truth is, we know from many courageous scientists and physicians, as well as some natural health professionals, and of course informed parents, that vaccines are biological weapons and they cause serious injury and death. So the deadly results can be immediate, or they can take decades to appear. So a very good argument is that if a parent or a family member were to inject a child with, or any person, with mercury, acetone, aluminum, antifreeze, or formaldehyde, you know, it would be considered, well, a criminal assault, and that person would be arrested and put in jail. But if physicians and nurses administered the same deadly ingredients, it is considered a necessary treatment for the better good of humanity. Here is a quote from the truthaboutcancer.com's website. They say, between 1990 and 2008, the U.S. government, through the VAERS database, that's your vaccine reporting system, they reported cases of vaccine injury that were 238,755 reported cases. The FDA estimates, their estimate is 90% of the vaccine reactions go unreported, and this would suggest an annual number of vaccine injury to be 2.4 million. That's right, because pediatricians just tell parents you're overreacting. If you're really worried about your child's reaction to the vaccine, take them to the emergency room. All right, so, you know, what we have is not strictly a medical system, though. We live in a time that healthcare is not only about health, but it's more about a politically motivated enterprise. So here is a medical doctor who has really done some of his own research to learn that he and many in the medical profession are really deceived by drug companies, the FDA and the AMA, on the truth about vaccines. He has many presentations on YouTube that would inform you if you want to look for them. This would be from a Dr. David Ayoub. You spell his last name A-Y-O-U-B. He is a radiologist in Springfield, Illinois. He says, I am no longer trying to dig up evidence to prove vaccines cause autism. There is already abundant evidence. This debate is not scientific, but is political, end of quote. And then the National Institutes of Health said this in December 2003. The only safe vaccine is the one that is never used. That was a quote by Dr. James Shannon, who was the former director of the National Institutes of Health. And also Ty Bollinger, he's the author of The Truth About Cancer, he says, we are taught to blindly trust doctors, but the facts prove they no longer deserve our trust, end of quote. Yeah, either based on ignorance or unwillingness to change based on they are have been awakened to the truth. Well, if the deadly ingredients in your vaccines are known to medical science and some health professionals to cause damage or have the potential to expose infants and children to serious injury and death, why is the practice not stopped? That's a rational question for rational-minded people. Well, it really is about money. The children are really sacrificed on the altar of greed and death because the people who do not love truth love death. Here is a quote. This is the American Academy of Pediatrics in 1996. They issued this position paper on aluminum toxicity in infants and children, which stated in the first paragraph, quote, aluminum is now being implicated as interfering with a variety of cellular and metabolic processes in the nervous system and in other tissues, end of quote. So that statement answers the question why we have differing health problems by vaccines and why not all children suffer from the same condition. Now, pediatricians and all medical physicians who are treating patients really should band together, refuse to vaccinate their patients. And the main reason that they don't do this is because the pharmaceutical industries pay health authorities and the AMA and the politicians to forbid that from happening by threatening the health professionals with loss of profession and income, lawsuits, of course, license, you know, to practice be revoked, and you know, blackballed from ever being employed in the healthcare industry ever again as a result for standing up for the truth. See, that's what happens. They ruin you professionally. So that's why doctors turn a blind eye. Lawrence B. Palveski, he's a pediatrician, he says, we have no scientific studies in infants, children, or adults to help us understand the nature of the progression of the HT1, 2, and 3 immune response to any of the injected materials in vaccines, end of quote. So Dr. Palveski's statement actually corroborates Dr. Judy Michalowicz's statement when she said vaccines are biologic agents and they're not required to be tested like drugs are for safety, right? You know, you just make an assumption, a deadly assumption, that your vaccines have been run through the safety test, and they have not. So where does that leave us all? Well, just think about the ingredients they are now including in vaccines to produce this strong immune system response when science is stating it has really no clue what happens to you. They have no understanding what happens after they inject those materials into your body. They don't know how it's, you know, adjusting your metabolic defense mechanisms in your immune system. So you're just one big experiment. Now, the FDA admits the dosage of 0.85 milligrams per vaccine to minimize exposure to aluminum. That's per vaccine. And there's been some interest in other materials, but no one has proven the safe, if they're safe enough, according to Stanley Hem, Purdue researcher, a professor of industrial and physical pharmacy. So, and that's just one vaccine. And how many vaccines do kids get? Numerous ones. Well, let's just look at the formaldehyde thing. This really bothers me, formaldehyde. Remember that stuff we used to pickle the frogs in science class in? That's what they're throwing into vaccines. So formaldehyde is really a known carcinogen. It's a neurotoxin. But it's used in vaccines, and they're used there, they say, to help deliver the disease in the vaccine throughout the body. What happens is the formaldehyde dissolves in the body and releases the injected virus or the bacteria from the animal culture. Proteins are then released, and the immune system becomes irritated from the chemicals in the vaccines. And body tissues become inflamed and irritated with these foreign antigens, damaging neurological membranes and the myelin sheath, which is around your nervous system, and it's resulting in severe neurological damage. So subsequent injections also promote a lot of allergic reactions and increases the severity of the damage. Here's some of the causes that it can create: learning disabilities, nervous system disorders, and death. So when formaldehyde agents create a cancer potential in humans, the symptoms, science says, are documented. They've documented this now. You're going to have nervous system dysfunction, insomnia. How many of these little kids can't sleep now, you know, through the night? Typically, kids, when they're in their fourth month, they're sleeping through the night. These kids aren't. Headaches, nausea, as well as nosebleeds and skin rashes, all from your little bitty formaldehyde in there. So scientific and medical research in 1981 has really stated that because formaldehyde is such a strong carcinogen, there is really no safe dose suitable for the human body. And that was case number 50-00-0. Was in the Refusers of Formaldehyde Second Annual Report of Carcinogens in 1981, and it was relisted in 2011. Well, what's the survival rate then of these little children with the cancer? Well, the media, the hospitals that treat cancer patients are going to state that there's a very high survival rate with medical cancer treatments, and the numbers are really massaged a bit. But the truth is, with regards to children with cancer, they live on an average about 5 years after they get treatment. So parents are threatened to have their children taken from them unless they pay doctors to inject their kids with carcinogens and vaccines. And in some cases, the cancer may not appear for decades. However, children that do get cancer have a high risk of dying before the age of 30. Now, if you notice the types of cancers most children are coming down with, they can actually be directly connected to the damage being done by your vaccines. Now, think about that the next time you see a TV commercial asking you to donate to medical science in their fight against cancer. All that really needs to be done is to stop the vaccines. Now, over 15,000 children were diagnosed with cancer in 2017, and 2,000 of them died. However, if you think the lives of children dying of cancer can weigh against the $59 billion global vaccine industry, well, I want you to think again. If you are on our subscribers list for the newsletters, you would have gotten this chart showing you since 1940 to present day. This graph, it shows the cancer mortality rates from 1940 to today. Off the charts, blow you away, right? It's like it's more than a 90-degree incline. Okay, so if you want to subscribe to the newsletters, you can go on to the powerherbs.com website and click on Books and Newsletters and subscribe for free, but it is only delivered by email, so you have to have an email address. So, you know, when you look at this chart, you got to say, well, where is the, quote, winning the battle against cancer in this graph I'm looking at? The point is, we're not trying to deter cancer, but we're inviting the disease. Cancer is a disease that is no longer rare, but is common among children, adults, and even pets. And what do pets have in common with humans to induce such correlating stats? Well, in a word, vaccines. Pets no longer get just the simple distemper or the rabies vaccine. They get the Bordetella vaccines, the flu vaccines, the parvo vaccines, the corona vaccines, the heartworm vaccines, the Lyme disease vaccines, hepatitis vaccine, and leptospirosis bacteria vaccines. Oh, you know, puppies get 11 vaccines now. And they're usually dying by cancer by the time they're two. So we should not need a house to fall on us to notice this. The problem is in healthcare and in veterinary care, it's the same old adage, the love of money is the root of all evil. Because vet clinics, again, make millions a year just on vaccines. Here is a quote from Ernie Sanders, a pastor in Cleveland, Ohio. You probably have heard him here on American Voice Radio. He says, if you really want to know what God thinks about money, look at who he gives it to. End of quote. Very profound. So what do you believe in is basically what I want to ask you tonight. Over the last 20 years, I've learned that people will accept without doubt that scientific healthcare, because, you know, they believe science. That's where they put their trust and faith in. Science is what they believe in. Therefore, they're going to not investigate treatments. They're not going to challenge their doctors, but they're just going to go along with what they're told to do. Now, the quality of life has decreased, and the mortality statistics have gone up for several years in a row now, the longer we rely on vaccines, drugs, and surgery. I think healthcare has its place. It's called trauma care. That's it. Now, Hippocrates said food is your medicine, and he is correct. Medicinal plants and our foods, medicinal plants are really heavily packed with nutrition. So these are the tools we should use to secure our health and not the toxic drugs. So better health is as simple as avoiding the things that corrupt our bodies and instead utilize the things that strengthen them. So drugs that replace a metabolic function do not strengthen you, but makes the weakness more acute, and it leads to failure. So we need to be wise stewards of the body God's given us. Otherwise, it's going to make the purpose he has for us much more difficult. So to learn how you can detox your system and fortify it with whole food supplements, call Apothecary Herbs. They offer also the dandelion root tincture that in 2012, Windsor Medical Hospital in Quebec, Canada, discovered this herb destroys all known cancer cells. So they offer that. So God has the answers if we just look for them. Call Apothecary Herbs. Their number's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit them on thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Hey, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough.
Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Double O 7, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, for international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Wendy Wilson, and now we're going to shift gears, and we're going to talk about the furry friends, the pets, the family members that are our pets. We were mentioning briefly how pets now have more cancer than ever before, and I'm a true believer that it's, for a large part of it, it's the vaccines, but it's also really, really bad dog food that's out there. So let's look at some of the common products also that, you know, our pets could, weakening them to develop more cancer. So there's some pet products that could cause your pet to develop cancer, and too many pets really today are being treated for cancer as opposed to, let's say, 50 years ago. If you notice, some of your vet clinics have now cancer wings. They give pets with cancer radiation just like people. Now, according to WebMD, 50% of the dogs over the age of 10 all have cancer, and it's the leading cause of pet death now. And you know something's very wrong, you know, when your vet clinics have oncologists now and radiation suites. to treat the pets. Now, the FDA approved the first drug to treat pet cancer in 2009, and this industry has the potential to be almost as profitable and lucrative as the cancer industry for humans. So I think the veterinarian industry, you know, saw the spotlight, you know, vaccines, probably the culprit for creating cancer in pets. So if we do that, we'll get rich. And pets are often the experimental subjects for cancer vaccines today. So depending on your cancer, the treatments can range for your pet from $1,000 to $15,000. Now, I had a guy come over to my house once. I needed a door installed, and he came over, and he saw my black lab, and he just had to pet him and love on him a little bit. He's a big dog lover. He was telling me about his two-year-old, whatever the breed was, I can't remember, has cancer, and he had to take out a second mortgage for the treatments. And I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, it's very expensive. His dog had leukemia, I think it was what it was. He was getting all these transfusions. I'm like, please. So there are vet clinics that actually now do bone marrow transplants for pets. Of course, the blood transfusions for leukemia as well. And what are your chances that your pet's going to get cancer if your pet already has begun cancer or benign cancer? You know, what's the chances that's going to become malignant? Well, vets tell you the chances are 60% or greater that fatty cancer tumor cells won't become cancerous. So what's happening to our pets? They're riddled with cancer. I was growing up, that wasn't the case. Frank, you remember this? Pets didn't have these problems when we were growing up. They didn't have leukemia and lymphoma and all that bizarre stuff. Yes, they didn't. They really didn't. Well, let's look at the signs of pet cancer. If you're not sure your pet's sick, according to veterinarians, there are some signs you want to watch for. If they develop lumps or bumps, which don't resolve on their own, so vets will tell you that the only way to tell if the lump is cancerous is to do a needle biopsy. Now, usually these lumps or bumps are called fatty tumors, which is a really nice way of saying your pet has lymphoma. They won't admit to it, but that's what it is. It is supposedly a benign form of a tumor, and it's now very common in your middle-aged and older dogs. So female dogs, which are overweight, and they're more susceptible to getting these types of fatty tumors. And vets will tell pet owners that some breeds are more prone to the fatty tumors, like your Dobermans, Schnauzers, Labradors, and some of your mixed breeds. We're also told by the vets that these lymphomas are a natural part of the aging process. I say BS to that, big time, you know? I personally don't believe that. There is a risk that these benign tumors can become malignant, in which the name changes to lymphosarcoma. And these tumors tend to be difficult to remove, and they do come back in most cases if you do have them cut out. And these tumors tend to be, you know, resilient. And they recommend, you know, that you maybe use some wax paper and draw a template to measure the size and the growth of the tumor, how aggressive it is. And I personally wouldn't do a biopsy if my pet had fatty tumors, because I think that just spreads the cancer when you do that. Some of the other signs are the attitude of your pet and their appetite changes could be a factor, as well as abnormal odors. If your pet puts out an offensive odor from their mouth, ears, or other body parts, it could be an indicator of cancer. Abnormal discharges, any blood or pus or weird substance coming from your pet is a sign. Any abnormal discharges could also bloat and cause distension in your pet, indicating an accumulated of these substances. Wounds that won't heal is another indicator. It could be an infection of the skin. It could be a disease there, and sometimes it could be the cancer. Weight loss, of course, is a sign, as well as coughing or trouble breathing. Any signs of abnormal breathing could be heartworms or lung disease as well. Lethargic behavior or even depression-type behavior in your pet. If they're sleeping more, they're less playful, they're really not interested in taking their walks, can be an indicator that they have cancer. Also, changes in stool or urine. If there is a blood being discharged, it can indicate cancer. And if there's a lot of evidence of pain, obviously, if they're in a lot of discomfort and when they move around, it could be not just arthritis, it could be something else. Now, lots of pet owners faithfully treat their pets with all the prescribed medications they get from their vet. And these are products that are intended to dose the pet on a monthly basis, usually for things like parasites, worms, fleas, ticks. But these products, they can cost the pet owners about $30 to $60 a month for each pet. Or you could, they could try to get it at a discount. They could get that sometimes over the internet at a discount. However, what are these products doing to the health of your pet? Well, if you take a look at them, your monthly flea treatment, for instance, one popular brand, Comfortis, made by Eli Lilly, it's made in the UK. It is a chewable tablet. Some of the side effects are on your enclosed leaflet, and it will say vomiting, lethargic, anorexic, diarrhea, ataxia, which is loss of muscle control, and seizures. However, that is the drug company's list of adverse events. Could they have been maybe leaving some important information out of there? Well, it is also important to note that the common side effects occur in what are considered healthy pets. So if you take your pet to the vet and you have some sick symptoms, and after starting the drug, vets may mistake the symptoms for something else and then give you another drug. So keep that in mind. So if you read the list of ingredients that Eli Lilly is listing on this Comfortis, we find spinosad, which is told is a common bacterium found in dirt. And the lab breaks the bacteria down from the dirt into a simposin A and D, and then it's really now registered as a pesticide by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency since 1997. So it's giving your dogs a pesticide to kill the pest, but it's poisoning your pet. So spinosad is used in over 80 pesticide products to kill agricultural pests, and it comes in lots of forms, dust, granules, sprays, and it's used in your pet collars and other pet products as well. And there is always this reference on the product to contact poison control if unauthorized exposure occurs, you know, like your kids get in contact with that. So the FDA has approved spinosad to be used in drugs for head lice on humans, flea and tick products for dogs and cats. And this chemical actually attacks the nervous system of parasites and also in humans and pets. So the goal of the product is to paralyze the parasite, and it kills them within 2 days. And you can find similar side effects with the monthly treatment of your heartworm medications, which are essentially insecticides. So everywhere you look, there are reports that these products are safe and there's really known cause for disease in pets. But the trial studies that they give these chemicals a clean report on were so short, they never go past a year of testing. So pets get these chemicals month after month, year after year. They get an accumulative effect. Seriously. Well, some vets are, you know, speaking out, you know, that the pets all over the United States are not at risk of heartworms on a yearly basis, and they shouldn't be given these toxic chemicals all year round. Yet the drug companies know that heartworm is they know that in pets, it's prevalent in, let's say, warm, moist climates of the U.S. So what about these dry, arid regions? They have few cases of heartworm, so why are they giving it to pets year-round there? According to Pet Consumer Reports, they say heartworm drugs kill the parasites, if any, before they mature, and successive treatments are really unnecessary. They report also that these drugs are not safe, and they have a very toxic consequence to them. So pet owners are told that the drug is in a very small dose, and it's really a prevention measure for the heartworm. It's nothing to worry about. But monthly doses of these chemicals accumulate in the system and become a serious health risk to animals. So no one in their right mind would take any dose, no matter how small, for an insecticide each month, right? It is a slow poisoning of your pet. So here are the extended health risks according to Pet Consumer Report. They say, when you give your pet this stuff, weakened immune system, your pet system becomes overworked trying to rid itself of the toxin. Organ failure occurs in the liver and the kidneys under the strain. Also, pet's energy is reduced with an overall suppressed system, and your pet's more susceptible to bacterial and viral infections and can't seem to shake those illnesses off. So what most pet owners don't realize is that they should take measures to neutralize the parasites before they bite the pet. There's plenty of natural parasite repellents, which offer really good options to avoid the toxicity from poisoning your pets. So there are some alternatives that if you find them, which, you know, recommend using maybe some herbs to repel parasites and also mosquitoes. You can use some natural herbs and oils like eucalyptus, cedarwood, citronella, pennyroyal, and these are safe for pets, and they act as repellents. So inside your pet, you can also use parasite expelling herbs such as black walnut and wormwood. And if you're looking for a safer alternative for your pets, I would suggest pet owners look maybe to using some dandelion root for your pet if they're worried about the cancer risk. Dandelion root is known to kill all known cancer cells and leaves healthy cells alone. So if you want to check out the dandelion, the black walnut, and they have the natural oils in the pet, you know, collars for dogs and cats. They last about 3 months. And now if your pet likes to swim in the summer, you have to replace it sooner. But, you know, for $7, you get a natural alternative that won't poison your pet. So give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's the powerherbs.com website, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's Apothecary Herbs. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. They use all certified organic chill standard and whole food organic. So highest standard there. All right, we got a few minutes. And so we're going to talk about your diet. How your diet can be really more successful than a drug, for sure. Because America is in a war over health on lots of levels. The public thinks, the FDA oversees the health through the products and everything's good. They give that official approval of your food additives, your preservatives, your toxic drugs. But it's not overly, the FDA is not overly involved in actually testing anything. They just take the word of the suppliers. So there's a big difference between the FDA's actual function and what the public thinks the FDA actually does. So the FDA does not really test your products before it enters your market. It does not test food, spices, herbs, supplements, or drugs or vaccines. The FDA relies on drug companies to test their products and to be truthful in their reports. Drugs are not supplements and vice versa. However, there are efforts to cloud this issue, according to Gretchen Debut. She says she's a director of the Alliance for Natural Health. She gives this analogy when calling a supplement a drug, she says it's like calling monopoly money legal currency. And to make matters even worse, some officials, like the U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, had been warning consumers about the dangers of nutritional supplements, but Lynch really was misguiding a lot of consumers by stating the FDA does not test supplements for approval. They don't test anything, Loretta. So you see, half the truth is still a whole lie. We have to be discerning and wise. Well, let's look at this Harvard study. The Alliance for Natural Health says Harvard University did this study on the percentages of FDA-approved drugs and their health hazards. And according to the study, prescribed medications are responsible for 1.9 million hospitalizations, 2.74 million serious adverse reactions, 128,000 deaths each year. In comparison, Americans take 60 billion doses of dietary supplements every year. The adverse reactions to supplements were minuscule, in which people mixed supplements with other medicines which were prescribed or over-the-counter, and that's how they got in trouble. Now, for a better perspective, Gretchen says it this way. You're 5 times more likely to be killed by a lightning strike. You're 581 times more likely to be killed in a boating accident. And 98,000 times more likely to be killed by the FDA-approved and properly prescribed pharmaceutical drug than you are from a dietary supplement. The bigger, more important picture is this. Despite some bad apples, the supplement industry still produces the safest products that humans ingest. End of quote. I applaud you, Gretchen. Really. If we pulled all the death certificates nationwide, we'd see how many deaths by supplements as the cause of death. But if in comparison, what would the death certificate say by prescription cause of death? Well, the comparison's pretty obvious, that the supplement industry manufactures one of the safest products Americans ever had. If consumers are taking a whole food supplement and not a fractionalized synthetic version, then the likelihood of adverse reactions is zero, unless you have a natural allergy to a food. It's pretty much zero. Now, there is an industry solely committed to evaluating risks and putting a price tag on it, and the need for malpractice insurance was born in 1374 when medical malpractice became a common occurrence in the British courts, in which many, if not all, of the cases were dismissed. Malpractice law is supposed to handle fraud or neglect resulting in an injury, but by 1794, 5 years after President George Washington's inauguration, malpractice lawsuits were being heard in the U.S. courts, entered in as a breach of contract. So according to JAMA Journal of 2000 and the 1997 Journal of the Community Health, the word malpractice comes from a Latin term, malapraxis, and was coined by British legal scholar Sir William Blackstone in 1765. And we do have that Blackstone legal dictionary, don't we? Also, according to Blackstone, the malpractice lawsuits is claiming a private wrong, and it's not considered a breach of contract. So it comes down to failure to do your job in a private capacity, essentially. So the medical malpractice insurance industry actually bases the grounds for damages off of the medical standards. So medical standards can be kind of a cloak of protection for medical professionals under these laws. So the actual premium rates that physicians pay for their malpractice insurance varies from state to state and medical specialty. So let's say a surgeon may pay $20,000 to $200,000 a year, and your general practitioner may pay $6,500 a year. Your chiropractors may pay $200 a year. And, of course, your natural health herbalists naturopaths, they pay zero because there's, like, according to statistics, the underwriters of risk, there is no risk in those areas. So we have 300 million Americans in the United States. Over half of them are taking supplements on a daily basis. And the annals of internal medicine have encouraged medical professionals to discourage their patients from using supplements to help preserve their health. They are stating that there's no studies to support that nutrition, the minerals and the vitamins, help you. I'm like, are they serious? That's all there is in food. You take food away, people get sick. Duh. I mean, come on. All right, so in a 2013 Gallup poll, they showed that the higher the education level of an American and the older Americans are, the more supplements they're going to take. Yeah. They're not dumb. They know. So 68% of your senior citizens are on supplements, 50% of people under 65, and, of course, now moms are making sure kids are taking some really good supplements. Here is a quote from Dr. Andrew Saul, editor of Orthomolecule Medicine News. He says, NBC supplement bashing headline article displays an ignorance of clinical nutrition that is difficult to ignore, end of quote. Amen. Right. So here, if you want to look at what some of the scientists have said, you know, that had some sense, a JAMA 2012 multivitamin supplement article found that supplements can reduce your cancer risk by 8%, increase your serum vitamin D levels associated also with the risk of cancer. So if you get your vitamin D, you're better off. 15% reduction in your colorectal cancer, 11% reduction in breast cancer. So vitamins, people, vitamins. American Heart Journal in 2011 said if you increase your vitamin C, 9% reduction of heart failure mortality. Let's see. And then the International Journal of Cancer 2011 issue, they said vitamin E does no good at all preventing cancer for heart disease. This study found that natural vitamin E, though, decreases prostate tumor formation by 75%. So notice it's the organic, natural form of vitamin E, not your synthetic form. Okay, so there is a difference in what they're testing. The International Journal of Cancer 2008, natural vitamin E does reduce lung cancer by 61%. So, again, it's the natural form. That's why I keep telling people whole foods, get the whole foods version. The chemicals, the chemistry is balanced, and the body prefers that balance. So if you're taking mega doses of isolated things, it's the body treats it as a drug, and it struggles to utilize it. So eat healthy. Use your whole food supplements. You'll be defending yourself against disease. Of course, that'll piss off the AMA, but who cares? And, you know, anyone who thinks the medical industry, wouldn't do anything wrong, well, you know, think again, because the love of the money is the root of all evil. And so if they're ignoring statistical evidence that some of their treatments are damaging because of money, well, there you go. So special place for those folks, right? All right. So if you're looking for information and tools and information support on how to detox and fortify your system with nutrition to help the body heal itself, well, then call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog. The number to call, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Or visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com puts the power back in your hands. Makes you feel empowered. Nothing like it in the world. It's like the best kept secret. And you got the power. That's what I like about it. Empowerment's a cool thing. Pass it on. Share it with family and friends. Do sign up for the newsletters. They are available for free on thepowerherbs.com. Just click on books and newsletters and sign up there. You have to have email to receive them. They go out each and every week. The American Survival will also provide you some information on financial markets, gold and silver reports and things like that. And, of course, the Health Quest goes out on the end of the week, and that's just strictly your natural therapy information. So, but both are free. You can sign up today, thepowerherbs.com. And don't forget, the Power Herbs book is available for a download in PDF, Kindle, and iPad, also on the website for just $14.99, 400 pages of nutrition you don't want to be without. No. So check it out, thepowerherbs.com. I am just about out of time, but I enjoyed every moment, and I will be back next week. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, cure disease. So seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before you use any product of therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.